You're listening to Princeton Lacks Cash, the official podcast of the six-time NCAA national champion Princeton men's lacrosse program. Now here's your host, Jerry Price.
All right, welcome to the next edition of the Tiger Lacks Cast. Jerry Price here, and I'm joined today not only by head coach Matt Madelon, but also by defensive coordinator Jesse Bernhardt. Jesse, welcome to your first appearance on the Tiger Lacks Cast.
Oh, sounds like it's been going great so far, so I'm glad to be here.
And it's a good week to have Jesse with us. Princeton's next game is at Rutgers, where Jesse has been an assistant coach in the past. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But first, let's look back at the last week, and it was quite a week for the Tigers. Big wins over Johns Hopkins, who had been ranked number three, and then Quinnipiac, the 18-7 win over Johns Hopkins. I think nobody really saw that margin of victory. Maybe felt confident going into the game, but I'm not sure anybody saw an 11-goal margin of victory over Johns Hopkins. And then 17 more goals against Quinnipiac. So many good storylines so far. And just before we get into some of that, just what are your general thoughts, Coach Madelon, about the way the last two games went?
You know, we're thrilled. Coming into the Hopkins game, we had a couple good hard practices where we were trying to fine-tune some system stuff, try a couple things different defensively, try some different things around the face-off X. So I think that when we were able to go out and kind of put our product out there and we were able to execute, it all kind of got rolling. And then a couple good bounces went our way. Guys hit a couple shots, made a couple plays. So I think that, you know, as you allude to that margin, it was just a nice start. You know, it was nice to confirm, a good hard couple practices. And then it was good for our guys to get rolling and feel the confidence of when it's clicking and firing on all cylinders, what it feels like to play.
Some eerie similarities in the stats from those two games, especially Austin Sims. 6 goals, 1 assist in both games. And I looked it up, and the last Princeton player who had back-to-back 6-goal games was Jesse Hubbard, who did it in 1996. He actually did it 2 different times in 96. And since then, there have only been 8 players who had at least 6 goals in a game. And now he's done it in consecutive games. And usually when people put up numbers like that, you think, well, you could see, oh, he's just playing out of his mind. But he just does it so sort of effortlessly within the flow of the game. And he's really emerging as one of the top middies in the country, I would think.
Yeah, he's done a nice job. I mean, he's shooting the ball lights out to go 6-1 in 2 games. And if you don't follow our Instagram, you'll see a picture Jerry just posted of Austin Sims and Jesse Hubbard with both wearing great uniforms. So check that out if you don't follow it. But no, we're thrilled with Austin Sims. Heck of a job. He's putting himself in the right spots within the framework of our offense, and he's really just capitalizing on his opportunities. He's shooting the ball well. He's changing planes. He's changing his location. So we're thrilled. He's got a hot hand right now.
Jesse's the all-time leader in goals scored at Princeton at 163, and he has a ton of records. He has great performances in NCAA tournament games and all that kind of stuff. And my favorite stat about Jesse is that he had more games in his career with 3 or more goals than he did with fewer than 3 goals, which is, over the course of 4 years, is fairly impressive. I'm not sure if you ever really got a chance to see him play or have seen any video of those guys, especially Jesse. I mean, it's just a...
Yeah, we've seen a lot of video in the office. He's one of the greatest shooters in college lacrosse. And then we crossed paths a couple times in the MLL, so we were always aware when he was on the field and when he had the ball.
He shoot on you?
No, he didn't. Actually, when I was coaching at Stevens Tech, I'd come out to the field one day, and I was wondering who was shooting out there, and he was shooting from about 20 to 22 yards away on a goalie we all know as Cookie Krongard. So it was funny to see these guys, and then it all came full circle a couple years later when I jumped on board as an assistant here. So
I'm pretty sure it's either legend or it actually happened, but Coach Tanner put together a scouting report, and it would say the goalie strengths and weaknesses, and Jesse always wanted to take his first shot at the goalie's strength. Because if he can beat him to his strength, he could beat him anywhere. And I'm pretty sure I heard him say that.
I believe it. I mean, what an incredible shooter.
So we asked the alumni group, or whoever's listening, if they wanted to ask questions or have any feedback on our Lax casts, by the way, to email me. And I got one email. Well, I got a couple emails. But one email in particular said, in addition to all the lacrosse stuff, we want to get to know the coaches as people. And suggested that I ask you what your favorite movie of all time is. So you both could answer the question.
My favorite movie of all time would be A League of Their Own. Great sports movie, classic. I always watched it when I used to stay home from school sick. Don't ask how many times, but I've seen that movie a lot. So, yeah, favorite movie, classic. Rockford Peaches.
We were just having a movie conversation in the office the other day, believe it or not. We don't just do lacrosse up there. My favorite movie actually is The Great Escape, which is an old war movie.
I love that movie.
Back in the day.
Favorite movie of all time?
That's my favorite movie of all time, movie. Yeah.
That was actually my mother's favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, it's one of my dad's favorites, so probably didn't think I was going to say that, but yes, when it's on AMC, I'm always a fan.
My mother always used to say that that movie made her a Steve McQueen fan for the rest of her life. I would not have guessed either one of those answers. That's pretty good.
We're here to surprise you.
So segueing back into lacrosse, focusing on the two games, the last two games against Hopkins and Quinnipiac, in addition to Austin Sims, there's Michael Sowers, and we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves on the Michael Sowers stuff here too early in his career. It's only been five games, but his numbers are extraordinary, and you know what he brings is different than what you know Princeton's had for a while. And you know, his ability to change direction, his ability to see the open guys, and you know he has added dimensions to the offense that I feel like you probably anticipated he had the capability of doing. But are you surprised that he's done it as fast as he has?
We are. I mean, of course, he's put a handful of great games together, but. You know, we were in for years. We've been looking for a below goal line presence, and we knew we kind of had Michael waiting in the wings in terms of you know being a recruited and a prospective student athlete here. So, knowing this, you know, and sitting down and talking extensively with Coach March in the hiring process in terms of how we were going to frame out our offense, you know, we wanted that QB mentality from below goal line extended. And I think Michael's just done a heck of a job preparing himself. And really understanding how, you know, our offensive approach and philosophy and how to really take advantage and showcase his skill set within the framework of our offense. So we're thrilled early part of his career. You know, we hope he can just continue to get better every day, keep learning, and then guys around him will get a feel for kind of his strengths and his tendencies and, you know, hope to be firing on all cylinders come Ivy time.
I'll give you a couple of names and you know, just tell me, either one of you can tell me what you think of what they've given so far, but let's start with Charlie Durbin.
Yeah, I think Charlie's gotten better as the year's gone on. I think he's very athletic. I think from hearing before I got here on staff of what he had done and I think his ability, I think he's kind of I think he's almost surprising himself a little bit. So he's playing well. I think he's, again, continuing to get better as we've gone through the first couple games.
What about Mike Marine?
Mike Marine, you know, he, you know, was battling with some injuries early on, but tough kid. You always kind of know what you're going to get out of him.
He's giving you a lot of offense. I mean,
he has. And I think, you know, some, you know, change of mentality and trying to, you know, we have a lot of guys around him with some ability in that short stick spot. So, again, he's just a tough. He's always going to hustle. He's always going to go hard. So you kind of, you know what you're going to get out of him.
How about Armin Midgalchi?
Armin is he's doing very well, especially for a young guy. You know,
and you could throw Nick Bauer in there too. You know,
both of those guys. You know, even you know, kind of countering the other side of Sowers on the defensive end. It's never easy to step in and play as a young guy, especially you know trying to pick up defensive schemes at the college level, and the pace of play is so much faster than at the high school level. You know, some guys it takes 2-3 years to kind of, you know, kind of settle down. So both of those guys, again, kind of gotten thrown into the fire, but, you know, they're mature for their age and, you know, so far have done a very good job for us.
And talk a little bit maybe about Riley Thompson, about, you know, he's had to adjust his role and he seems to have done so pretty well. And I mean, he's you know, sometimes, you know, he's 24, Sowers is 22, and you look really quickly and you don't always know that it's not 24 or 22. I mean, you know, they're both not tall, and yeah, you know, I mean he's made some feeds, especially in the game last night, two Sowers that you know, pretty impressive.
Yeah, not the biggest guys on the field, very smart, very slick. So Riley actually, last year was a 60-minute guy for us. Played you know most games as a starting attackman. You know in the year prior, his freshman year, he bounced back and forth as a middie and a starting attackman. So for him to come in and take a role where he's not a 60-minute guy and he runs on a midfield line where, you know, he gets a handful of shifts a game and he's done a really nice job, again, capitalizing on his opportunities. You know, Riley's strength is in his vision and his lacrosse IQ. I think that he sees the game very well. Him and Coach March are on the same page. And what really helps is, you know, his slick stick work allows him to really just play with his head up. And he does such a good job, whether it's on our extra man, kind of quarterbacking it from that low left corner, or whether it's just in the framework of our 6-on-6 offense where, you know, he has the ability to see through defenses and read slide packages. So we're thrilled. You know, it's the selfless approach of a lot of guys on our team. You know, they just, you know, it's a place and plug in terms of where they fit best on a week-to-week basis. But Riley's done a heck of a job. We're thrilled with his performance. We expect a lot more out of him.
So let's talk a little bit about handling success, because the win over Hopkins pushes Princeton back into the national rankings. It's gotten Princeton a lot of attention in lacrosse circles. You know, clearly the team is playing well. Are you concerned about, you know, keeping people focused and under control and not worrying about things like rankings? Because, I you know, coaches always say, oh, the rankings don't matter. The only rankings that matter at the end of the year. But I think when a team is trying to go from 5-8, which is what Princeton was a year ago, to where Princeton wants to be, I think milestones along the way are, you can see in practice, yes, we are a better team. You need to translate that into things, specifically winning, and then the things that go along with it. So I think being ranked is a big thing. It says, yes, the progress that we see is real. But on the other hand, how do you keep people focused?
You know, I think that it's a good question. I think that in terms of how our program is going to handle our success, you know, from this point moving forward, you know, we're going to help them as a staff understand that, you know, 2 weeks ago, there wasn't a person in this country that thought Princeton lacrosse was any good. So for now, 2 weeks later, for people to be telling you you're great, you're ranked, this or that, I think our guys understand the big picture and know they have a lot of work to do. And this is nothing to take away from Quinnipiac, but last night in our locker room, it wasn't all warm and fuzzy after a win. I think that we kind of got on our guys a little bit about, you know, making some mental mistakes and not managing a game properly and understanding at it cherished moments on 52 stadiums. So, again, nothing to take away from Quinnipiac, but, you know, we weren't thrilled with some of our performance last night. So I think that being able to make sure our guys stay humble, which we're able to do as a staff often, I think it'll just help us kind of grow as a team through our early successes. And again, as thrilled as we are with a 4-1 start, you know, our money's going to be made in the Ivy League.
So looking ahead, I cannot remember, and maybe it's happened, I just don't remember it, a weekend in March or April where we have not had a game. And this Saturday, there is no game for Princeton, no Friday game, no Saturday or Sunday game for Princeton this weekend, which is a byproduct of the intricacies of scheduling and an odd number of teams and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But what do you do on a weekend off in the middle of the season? It's going to be weird, or
No, we're actually thrilled. And actually, you know, we were walking over here talking about this, but when I had hired Coach Bernhardt, we were looking at our schedule and, you know, we had played Maryland on a Saturday last year and Rutgers on a Monday, and it was a really tough turnaround. And, you know, our goal this year was schedule 5 games early. We had 5 games in 17 days. As a staff, we wanted to see what we were made of as a staff, as a program, as an offense, as a defense. We wanted to see how we would react to 5 games in 17 days, and they've done a good job. And what it does is this Saturday off, you know, we're about a third of the way done with our season. So to be able to have a weekend off, you know, right now we're giving our guys 2 days off. They're off out of the locker room on Wednesday and Thursday. So to be able to give 2 guys off for recovery in this day and age is incredible. And then I think it allows us 4 days of work to prepare for Rutgers. And then as we move after that into Penn, and that Rutgers Penn is our midterm week. So to give guys this 2 days off and let guys get a head start on study guides, midterm preparation, and just catch up on rest, we think will be very beneficial for the program. And then we're going to practice, you know, if they're off Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to practice Saturday and Sunday this weekend. So we'll have time to fine tune our systems, get back up to speed, work our guys a little bit, knowing they'll have plenty of time for rest and recovery. So we think, you know, very odd for Princeton to have a Saturday off, and not sure we'll stay true to this schedule moving forward, but very happy with our schedule this year and happy to be able to give our guys 2 days off after a five-game stretch.
It's a big five-game stretch that you'll be starting on. It's Rutgers at Rutgers, Penn at Penn, Yale here, Brown here at Stony Brook. That's a pretty big run right there, and it starts with Rutgers. So, you know, Jesse, what's it like? You know, you coach there. Just talk a little bit about it from the perspective of what the Princeton game means to Rutgers, with Rutgers being a Big Ten team now, and also a team that is really on the verge of breaking through nationally. And then just talk a little bit about what kind of advantage, maybe isn't the right word, but what kind of knowledge you have of players, schemes, et cetera, heading into that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think regardless of rankings, even being at Rutgers prior, Rutgers-Princeton is always a big game, just obviously being in state with the, you know, state university being Rutgers, and, you know, having Princeton be the Ivy League school in the state. Again, regardless of how teams are doing that year, always a big game. And then, you know, even more so now, obviously, you know, we're off to a great start. Rutgers, I think, ranked within the top 10 right now. They have a big game versus Stony Brook on Friday. So obviously they're off to a great start. Again, going into it, regardless of rankings, and I think even a little bit more added now because of how well, you know, both of us are doing, we'll make it a great game, especially in state on a Tuesday night. And then, you know, obviously being there for the past 2 years, have probably a little bit more insight than, there's the person on the outside. So I would like to hope I can give some of my knowledge to the other guys on staff to kind of help with some scouting reports and maybe some tendencies that, you know, can give us, like you said, maybe a little bit more of an advantage, than they might have, versus us.
What has been the difference at Rutgers in the last few years? Because Rutgers struggled for a long time, and now all of a sudden, last year, you can make a really strong case that Rutgers, you know, I'm sure you felt this way on day of the selections, Rutgers didn't exactly get a friendly take from the NCAA, and you can make a real case that Rutgers belonged in the field and would have represented itself well in the field. Is it just getting in the Big Ten for lacrosse has changed things for them, or is it program top to bottom?
I think that's helped. Obviously, I think the landscape of the Big Ten, has helped the university as a whole, especially when I was there. But, credit to them as a staff and, Coach Brecht, who's over there, who kind of, had to go through some of the struggles that people, weren't there for. They're kind of just there to kind of reap the benefits of it now.
It's kind of ironic that getting in the Big Ten has really helped men's lacrosse for what it's done to football and men's basketball and women's basketball.
Definitely. Definitely. So I think lacrosse has probably made a little bit quicker of an impact in that league.
But the Big Ten, I mean, you can make a case that right now the Big Ten's the best league.
Yeah, they're playing great right now. They're playing great. I think all their teams are doing fantastic right now. I think, Michigan's off to a great start, Penn State, all of them. So, I think Coach Brecht, again, credit to him, doing a great job with program. And, again, they got some good kids in there who kind of, when I was there, were young and were, again, thrown in the fire early. And, now that experience as freshmen that might have been losses, has turned into now, kind of experienced seasoned veterans as, juniors and seniors. They a little bit, again, kind of play a little bit faster pace, which is something that, some people are going to, but they have some athletic kids, and it's working for them.
What's it like for you being a coach and an active player in Major League Lacrosse and the national team and all that, and balancing yourself as a professional player and clearly a player who's in his prime and is, you could smirk if you want, a player who's in his prime and, but at the same time is coaching. So, I mean,
I'm probably not doing a great job of balancing right now. I need to start getting in shape. Season's coming up soon. It always just keeps me engaged in the sport, whether it's off season for us college-wise and we're recruiting and that's my season of play. I like to think it helps relate to the guys, or I can use some of my experience and obviously what I still do to relate to the guys to maybe be a little bit, closer to them than, an older coach who, back when I played kind of did things, I kind of still do it. So it's good in that sense. And, the guys, bust on me a little bit, they've watched some of the games and things like that. So, it makes it a good environment and things like that.
Well, Bayhawks just made a big trade.
We picked up Lyle Thompson. So, good player. I'll tell you during the summer how it's going.
And what about, coming from such a high quality lacrosse family with your brothers, and you know, now your youngest brother is making an impact at Maryland. You know, coming from Florida, which you know, might not have been what it is now in lacrosse when you guys were just first coming along. But you know, what's that been like?
No, it's been an awesome experience. You know, just the opportunity to kind of represent, you know, Florida, and then obviously have two successful brothers, one who coaches up at Vermont now and still plays in the MLL, and then the youngest brother who's, you know, doing a very good job at Maryland right now. It's just cool. You know, we're definitely kind of always engulfed in lacrosse, which is awesome because we love it.
And your dad's a football coach, right?
Dad's a football coach, yep. So, but he, you know, he's very in tune to lacrosse. So again, just to kind of be around it, and obviously it definitely is a lot of conversation on the phone around the dinner table when we're with one another. Just makes it a very good experience.
Well, the 4-1 Tigers are at Rutgers. It's the first road game of the year for Princeton. That game, I believe, is 7 o'clock Tuesday night. No game this weekend. You got the Rutgers game. We'll talk about that next Thursday, and we will look ahead to the Ivy League opener. It'll be at Penn. Penn is obviously playing as well as any team in the Ivy League right now as well, and that game will be in Philadelphia a week from Saturday. Coach Bernhardt, Coach Madelon, any final thoughts for today?
Thank you, Tiger Faithful. We appreciate the support.
Thank you very much for having me. A league of their own and the Great Escape. I would not have guessed
more to come.
This has been the Tiger Laxcast. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. And as Coach Madelon said, go Tigers. We appreciate everybody's support. We'll be back with you next week. Thanks.